firstborn of every creature. For in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. Again, he is the head of the body, the church, he who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the first place. For it has pleased God the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and that through him he should reconcile to himself all things, whether on the earth or in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand now for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from St. John chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Dost thou say this of thyself, or have others told thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own people and the chief priests have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have certainly have fought that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Thou art then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest it, I am a king. This is why I was born and why I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. All things have been created through and unto him, and he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear Reverend Fathers, my dear parishioners, how fitting that these words of St. Paul and the words of the Gospel as well are used on this feast day, and how fitting that this feast day comes, the Feast of Christ the King, comes just before Election Day in the United States. We're reminded that our leaders should emulate and follow Jesus. As our Lord said today, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." One who is honest and truthful will promote Christian laws and ethics. But do our leaders, do our politicians promote these things? If a candidate openly repudiates the law of God, how can you vote for him? And we're not talking about his personal sins and faults. We're all sinners, and we all succumb at times to temptations. What we are talking about is when a candidate sets his or her mind against God. Despite what sacred scripture says, what the divine law commands, or even what the natural law is written in our hearts, that candidate declares that it should be otherwise. For example, same-sex marriages are clearly against sacred scripture, the divine law, and they're also against the natural law, and they're even against human law. And yet you have politicians who declare that all these are wrong and should be changed. Another example, when does human life begin? After the first or second trimester? Or does it begin at conception? What does sacred scripture say? When God became man, it was 9 months before his birth. The angel Gabriel asked Mary to be the mother of God, and she consented with the words, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." And at that moment, the Son of God was made man and was a living person inside the womb of Our Lady. Not 3 months later or 6 months later, at the first moment of conception, he was a living person. And it's the same with every child. Life begins at conception. Well, some people rail against Catholics and say, you Catholics make this a one or two issue debate. You base all your voting on these one or two issues. And that is not really the case at all. It's simply a matter of principle. Yes, these few issues declare that candidate's mindset. And so we base our vote on their mindset. If a candidate repudiates God's law, how can he be trusted? If he or she is not afraid to speak against God, do we want such a person leading our nation? Do we want such a person making decisions that will affect our lives and our future? If they are not afraid of God, what's to stop them from doing all kinds of underhanded dealings and furthering corruption in our government? So it is really not just a one or two issue debate. It's everything. It's a principle. And you must vote according to principles, Christian principles and ethics. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." And when a politician makes himself by his issues and his stand to be against Christ, you cannot be with him. Otherwise, you too are against Jesus Christ. Some people will point out that the whole system is rotten. Politicians only say what the people want to hear. Like Pilate, they may personally believe Jesus is innocent or personally be opposed to abortion. But they, like Pilate, are against Jesus because the masses are against him. And so, despite what their conscience says, they just say whatever they think the people want to hear. And there is much food for thought in this. Americans are responsible for the leaders they have. American people get what they deserve. It is because we are mostly a corrupt people, we get a leader who is mostly corrupt. And so you see, my friends, that the problem really is a spiritual one. Our nation must be converted. There is no other answer. You're not going to find the answer in the Constitution. It is not going to be in some election that takes place. The only way for our country to be converted or to change is to be spiritually converted. It won't make any difference if Bush or Kerry is our president on Tuesday. That's not going to change a thing. What will change our country is when the people of this nation change in their hearts and start serving the living God. You could have St. Louis running for president, and he would never be elected. Not just because he's French, but because people would say he's a radical, he's crazy, he's a fanatic. We're never going to elect this man. He'll lead us into the dark ages. And if by some miracle a good man does get elected to office, he'll be murdered. This is clear throughout history. Gabriel Garcia Moreno was a very Catholic president of Ecuador in the 1860s and 70s. Listen to what this man did. Through his efforts, Garcia Moreno defeated the revolutionaries and the Freemasons, and he drove them out of his country. He modernized Ecuador. He built roads and hospitals. He established many Catholic schools and universities. The people were being taught by the Jesuits, and the country was growing rapidly. He forged a concordat with Rome, and he was the only head of state who publicly came into the support and defense of Pope Pius IX. There were many plots and attempts on his life, but he put all his trust in God. He refused to have a bodyguard, and he even pardoned those who plotted his murder when they were captured. Besides going to daily Mass and Holy Communion, Garcia Moreno made a holy hour every day and was the first government leader to solemnly consecrate his country to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He did this in 1873. The picture on today's bulletin is the image he had commissioned for his country's enthronement. And you'll notice from the Sacred Heart, there's a ray of light going down to the country of Ecuador. Well, our Lord received his sacrifice, and I'm sure blessed him very much for it. On August the 6th, 1875, which was the first Friday of the month, Garcia Moreno attended Mass, received Holy Communion, and then later on he returned to the church to make his holy hour. Because he was spending a long time in the chapel, his enemy sent in a messenger to tell him that he was needed on an important matter. And so he got up and he left the church and walked outside and was assassinated on the first Friday of the month. Do you think that the Sacred Heart was showing us something? Like Jesus himself, Garcia Moreno had to lay down his life for his country. And I tell you his story because I want his life and his sacrifice not to be in vain. You must learn from his example. Our problems in our government are spiritual ones. So the solution is a spiritual one. Like Garcia Moreno, we must get on our knees. We must attend Mass and receive the sacraments as often as possible, even every day. And we should make holy hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And like him, as he consecrated Ecuador to the Sacred Heart, today we consecrate our parish and ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We will sanctify ourselves, our families, our parishes. Only then, when we have sought out these spiritual remedies, only then will we see the sanctification of our state and our nation. It has to begin from within, in each one of us, in each of our families, in each of our parishes. Only then will we see the conversion of our governors, our senators, and our president. And so, my friends, it all begins with us. Because it begins only in Christ Jesus. All things have been created through and unto him. And he is before all creatures, and in him all things hold together. If only our politicians would see this. All things hold together in Christ Jesus. And so, like Garcia Moreno, some of us may have to lay down our lives for this cause. But your memory will be in benediction because you stood for Christ the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.